Hey friends, it is good to be with you again this day. My name is Ricky James, the senior pastor at First United Methodist Church in Clinton. And whether you're joining us online or listening to us at Supertalk FM, we are glad that you are here today as we continue in our sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. The Creed is a statement of faith, a set of principles that we say as followers of Jesus, this is what we believe. And today we are looking at our next sentence, that we believe that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And so, whether you grew up in a tradition that honored Mary or talked about Mary, or whether you grew up in a tradition that really only thought about Mary during Christmas time, I hope that today, with me as we read the scriptures, we will reflect on what Mary can teach us about what it means to be a disciple and what it means to be someone who believes in a God who dwells with us, born to us as one of us. So thanks for being with us at worship. We're glad that you're here. Welcome.
There are things as we travel this earth's shifting sand that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never
This morning, I invite you to join me as we declare together this, our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Friends, each week I get the opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for how you give and how your gifts help us to be in ministry around the world. And so I want to just say, keep up the good work. Remember, you can always donate safely and securely online by giving at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. You can also mail your check to 100 Mount Salis Road or drop your check off next time you're in the neighborhood. We'd love to see you stop on by. However you give, don't forget, it makes an eternal difference.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're joining us today. I'm Miss Nikki, and we're going to have a few moments for the kids. Over the past 2 weeks, we've started talking about the Apostles' Creed and what each part of it means. Today, we'll be doing the next part, part number 3. But real quick, let's see where we're at. So here's what we've talked about so far. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And the next part goes like this. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. This part always reminds you of the Christmas story. Most of you know this story. Long ago, in a place called Nazareth, lived a woman named Mary. She worked hard and was always good to others, and she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. One day, while Mary was at home cleaning her room, an angel suddenly appeared. Before Mary could say anything, the angel told Mary to not be afraid. She was favored by God and that God was with her. Mary was surprised. She was trying to not be afraid, but she had never seen an angel before. Then the angel told her that God was sending the Holy Spirit to earth to help people, and he would be born as Mary's son, and she would name him Jesus. Mary was confused. She wasn't married to Joseph yet, so how could she have a baby? The angel thought that this might concern Mary, so he said, "The Holy Spirit will perform a miracle, and because of this, your baby will be called the Son of God." When Mary heard this, she told the angel, "Let God's will be done." I imagine Mary felt scared and excited and nervous, but she trusted what the angel told her, and she trusted God. God had big plans for Mary. And on that special night in Bethlehem, all those years ago, sweet little baby Jesus was born as our Savior. And when we say that line in the Creed, we're reminding ourselves of that story. And like Mary, we can trust in God and expect miracles. And that's the good news for today. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for the miracle of Jesus. Help us to put our trust in you each and every day. Help us to see your miracles and to remember them always. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please join me as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The famous British theologian, Sir Paul McCartney, once said, "When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be." Now, I know some of you might think that it's inappropriate for a sermon on Mary, or any sermon for that matter, to quote the Beatles. But I have a confession to make. I love the Beatles. In fact, my dog is named Penny Lane. So from time to time, I find myself thinking about the Beatles and how they really can, in some interesting way, illuminate some theological issue for us. Now, some of you may be thinking, even beyond that, why a sermon on Mary? Anytime a Protestant pastor like myself preaches on Mary, we find ourselves in uncertain territory, right? Maybe around Christmas, we'll bring Mary out along with the rest of the nativity figures and reflect on her meek and mild, wonderfully giving birth to the Christ child. And then after Christmas is over, we lovingly pack her away with the rest of the decorations and don't worry about her till next year. So what do we do about Mary? What are we supposed to think? Now, I know that for some of us, when we think of Mary as a figure to reflect on, in the back of our mind, we might think about what the Roman Catholic Church says about Mary. And certainly as good Protestants, we don't think in the same way. We don't pray to Mary. We don't worship Mary. And so, Protestants, what are we to do? Well, the thing is, most of us simply ignore her. But when we do, we miss out on a very important aspect of the story of Jesus. And in fact, our neglect of Mary, I think, for three reasons at the very least, needs to be corrected. Now, first, Mary is the only person who is an eyewitness to the entirety of Jesus' earthly life. His birth, his ministry, his death, his resurrection and ascension. She's there for it all. She's the one person in all of human history who can say they were there when Jesus breathed his first breath, and she was there when he breathed his last. Yeah. She was there when the heavenly host proclaimed good tidings of great joy, and she was there when those heavens opened to receive an ascending Lord. Mary was perhaps the first one to tend to a skinned knee when Jesus was a boy. And she was among the first to see his wounds that would bring healing to the world. Her consistent presence throughout the Gospels is reason enough for us to reflect on Mary and her example. But there's a second reason, and the reason we're talking about Mary today is that she has a prominent place in the creeds of the church. In the Apostles' Creed, which we're reflecting on over these weeks, she is named as an important person, right? That we believe that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. In fact, she's only one of two humans listed in the creeds by name. And the other one is Pontius Pilate. And it's amazing that it's these two people that get named in a foundational statement of our faith. And really, it's an amazing thing because they serve as two counterpoints to each other. You see, Pilate uses violence as a means of control. Mary reminds us that in love, there is great strength. Pilate trusts the common wisdom that might makes right. Mary reminds us that even through weakness, God can do great things. In the end, Pilate's own pride leads him to collude with death. But Mary's humility gives birth to life. So you can see that even our creed, our statement of faith, helps us to see the significance and importance of this woman, Mary. And it's Mary's example of humility and obedience to God, which leads us to the third, and I think most significant reason why we should talk about her more, and that is a simple reason, is that Mary shows us what it means to be a disciple. Now, I know it's not often that we think of Mary as one of the disciples, but don't think of Mary as the Mary of medieval art and statues and paintings. Don't think of her as the Mary of our stained glass windows and preserved as almost an artistic rendering of someone that really never existed. No, think of Mary instead as the real flesh and blood Mary of Nazareth. A young woman, probably 14 or 15 years old, living in a small town in Israel, a member of a devout Jewish family, descendant from both the tribes of Levi and Judah. She was preparing to enter into an arranged marriage with Joseph, who was a carpenter in the town. And then quite unexpectedly, this young girl receives a visitor, an angel of the Lord, who tells her something unbelievable. And even though it's not Christmas, I want to read that encounter for you from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Now, I am positive that Mary didn't understand what all this meant and all the implications of what this message would have for her and her family. She couldn't have. And she must have been afraid at some level. In fact, we know that because the angel says, "Don't be afraid." He can sense Mary's fear. Perhaps she's afraid of what her parents will think. Maybe she is afraid of what Joseph will do, afraid of what might happen to this child promised to her. But Mary, displaying the virtues that made her God's choice in the first place, responds with humility and obedience. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Let it be. Mary's words show us an example of the trust that disciples have in God. Even if we are afraid, even if we doubt, even if we are unsure how or why, when God makes a promise, we trust. Let it be. And we must remember that the truth that we celebrate at Christmas is hopefully a truth that we celebrate every day of our life. The truth that God does not make a promise and then abandon us. But in Jesus, God comes to dwell with us, to live among us, to share in life, in love, to share in joy, and in the pain that life can bring. He comes to show us a better way to live, a way of abundant living that leads us through and even beyond death. And all of that great promise, that great fulfillment of God's presence to us, all of that begins with the words of a simple young girl who says, "Let it be." We should never forget that Mary shows us that in the wonderful providence of God, the great acts of salvation and redemption unfold through many small acts of faithfulness and obedience. Before God the Father sends Jesus the Son, we hear Mother Mary speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. Now, I have to be a little honest about Sir Paul McCartney and his song. When he first wrote those words, he wasn't thinking of Mary of Nazareth. But he does tell the story that in the fall of 1968, he was really struggling in his life. In the midst of all the success that the Beatles had brought, by 1968, it was all starting to fall apart and disintegrate. His wealth had brought him into a life that he could never have imagined, where he could do anything, have anything, but he writes that none of that success had brought him any contentment. And he was lonely and afraid. But he writes about an encounter he has. I want to read that to you. Hear this. Paul writes, "One night, somewhere between deep sleep and insomnia, I had the most comforting dream about my mother. She died when I was only 14. She had been a nurse, very hardworking, because she wanted the best for us. We weren't a well-off family. We didn't have a car, and both of my parents had to work. My mom contributed a good half to our family income. At night, when she came home, she would cook, and we didn't have a lot of time with each other. But she was a very comforting presence in my life. When she died, one of the difficulties I had as the years went by was that I couldn't remember her face as easily. That's how it is for everyone, I think. As each day goes by, you just can't bring their face into your mind. You have to use photographs and reminders like that. But in a dream, 12 years later, my mother appeared. And there was her face, completely clear, particularly her eyes. And she said to me very gently, very reassuringly, 'Let it be.' It was lovely. I woke up with a great feeling. It was really like she had visited me at this very difficult point in my life and gave me this message: be gentle. Don't fight things. Try and go with the flow, and it will all work out. So, being a musician, I went right over to the piano and started writing a song. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me." Mary was my mother's name. "Speaking words of wisdom. Let it be." Now, I want to be very clear. I don't think the Beatles should be held up as examples of devout Christianity, nor should this song be taken as the gospel truth. But I do think that sometimes our mothers know exactly what we need to hear. And I choose to think that Jesus, like every other son, sometimes ran to his mother for comfort, to dry his eyes, to rock him gently, or to sing a sweet lullaby in his ear. And each of us, whether it was our biological mother or a woman who was like a mother in our lives, knows what it's like to hear words of comfort and assurance when it seems like everything else is falling apart. And in that way, each of our mothers, like Mary, can help us to more clearly understand God's love for each of us. And that is the heart of what we believe when we confess that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. What we're saying in that one sentence in our creed is that God loves us so much that God would risk anything to be with us. That God would trust a poor young girl to carry the hope and light of the world. And if you think that's unbelievable, consider this. God still does just that. God still trusts fragile and faulty people like you and me to carry that same hope and light into the world today. Because this is also the truth of our creed, that just as God did this once in time, God still expects each of us, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to bear witness to the love which Mary held in her womb, a love which in turn holds all of us. Just think, you could be part of God's grand plan to share hope with someone who's almost given up, to share light with someone who's walking in darkness, to share life with someone who can only see death. And it might just begin with a small, simple act of trust. Maybe God is calling you today to bear the light of the world. And so maybe you'll be willing, just like Mother Mary, to answer God and say, "Let it be." Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee, filled with messages from Thee. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne. It shall be Thy royal throne.
Well, friends, I hope you've enjoyed our little journey with Mother Mary, and perhaps even thought about a little Christmas joy here in springtime. But in any event, I do hope you know that as you go forth this week into the world, Jesus goes with you, and that makes all the difference. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.